This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Elliot Johnson in about 15 minutes. Talk a little baseball. Saw the story last night. I actually texted Elliot about it. Josh Donaldson, Yankees third baseman, who in a snide way called Tim Anderson, White Sox shortstop, Jackie. He's upset because his teammates didn't back him. We noted this immediately when we talked to Doug Glanville last week that, all you needed to know, the manager and the face of the Yankees, maybe the face of baseball, Aaron Judge, both said, shouldn't have said it, and moved on. Don't say it. Don't be a jerk. It's essentially what they said about Josh Donaldson. Well, if you weren't a jerk, maybe this isn't the problem. But we'll talk to Elliot Johnson about a number of things in just a little bit. What we have, though, is a bunch of things you need to hear in case you haven't heard them. It's the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, let's start in the NBA. We have the NBA Finals that start tonight. If you are in Raleigh listening to this program, you can listen to it right here on 99.9 The Fan, which is very good. All right, we'll start with the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Ime Udoka, on how does Golden State defend, rather, how does Boston defend Golden State?
Well, we do have a size and versatility on the wings, and I think with who we are defensively against a really good offensive team, the benefit is having obviously Marcus and Jason Jalen on the perimeter, but as well, you have bigs that they can't just pick on, Al, Rob, Grant, and everybody else that we do use. It's a kind of a perfect storm as far as a matchup with all the offensive talent they have, the defensive talent we have, and I think our size and versatility bodes well for us as far as that. So I feel confident with a lot of guys guarding different players for them.
I don't think Ime Udoka is necessarily wrong there. Like I said, before this series started, the assumption was that it's like a coronation for Golden State. And I think they'll win the series, but I don't see this as a coronation at all. At all. I do find, who's going to guard Jason Tatum? My guess is it will be Andrew Wiggins first. It will be his assignment. I think Draymond Green will spend some time guarding Jason Tatum. Klay Thompson will probably get the assignment first on Jaylen Brown. Is Steph Curry going to guard Marcus Smart? That's a big body for Steph Curry to deal with.
Yeah.
For the entire series.
He's a physical player, too.
And Jordan Poole's not a big guy either, so there are going to be some matchup issues that work against Golden State, but I think Golden State is the better team, and they also have a lot of different ways to look. Like, they can play big. I do think, and I think we talked to Nada about this on Tuesday, I do think a lot of it is about what does Boston get out of Robert Williams defensively. All right, now to Jason Tatum, the Celtics star. First time after a couple of cracks getting to the NBA Finals.
Making it to the Finals is a big accomplishment, something that we should be proud of. And we're super excited for the challenge. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to win a championship, so we still got a long task ahead.
Yes, you do. And I'm not going to, there are people who would listen to that and go, well, they're just happy to get there. I don't think so. I think, once the series starts, you start over. They are not overwhelming underdogs, if you will. All right, so last night in Cincinnati, the U.S. men's national soccer team beat Morocco 3-0. I know how people process this. Well, it's just Morocco, except Morocco is a top 25 FIFA team. They have already qualified for the World Cup. They have lost, if John Champion and Taylor Twellman were correct, on ESPN, and I have no reason to believe that they weren't. I believe they have only lost once in their last 34 matches. So they were undefeated in qualifying. Now, that, I mean, that's just not easy. They were undefeated in qualifying. So last night, the United States wins 3-0. Christian Pulisic was instrumental in it. I thought he was great in the first half. He came off early in the second, but I thought he was great in the first half. He set up the first goal, super first touch, and then a pass to Brandon Aaronson. But after the game, he was put off by something, and here it is.
It's been a couple months since you were back in front of these U.S. fans. How'd it feel tonight?
Yeah, it was nice. To be honest, for whatever reason, I'm not super happy with the amount of Americans here, however that works out, if I'm being completely honest. It's thanks to the ones who did come, and the support is always great from them. But yeah, it's nice to be back in America and playing again.
Oh, okay.
Christian Pulisic taking a shot at the American fans. Look, I don't. Do we know what the attendance was last night?
I tried finding it earlier, but
well, they played in an MLS stadium which seats about 20,000. So it wasn't like they played at, in Charlotte where you get 70 or anything like that, or Denver where you could get 50 or so thousand.
So roughly 20,000 fans were in attendance at the 26,000 seat stadium.
Okay, so they didn't even sell out the 26,000 seat stadium.
It's hot, like Cincinnati.
It's Morocco. Like, not that Morocco's not good. Morocco is good, but it's not it. It ain't Spain.
Yeah.
You didn't just play, you know, Italy. You played Morocco.
Yeah, or even Mexico.
Well, Mexico would have been...
probably would have been a bigger stadium.
It would not be a friendly either.
No.
Plus, the hope is that they'll probably run into Mexico at some point during the summer. We have Nations League, although that might not be really decided until next year. I don't know what the schedule is for that. But there are two Nations League matches coming up in the next couple of weeks. So Grenada is one, and I believe at El Salvador is the other. Mm-hmm. So they've got a bunch of matches. They play Uruguay in Kansas City on Sunday. So maybe that'll be but that was interesting. Pulisic taking a shot at U.S. fans. All right, Ron Rivera is the head coach of the Washington Commandos. Their new quarterback is Carson Wentz, and Ron is wildly, maybe delusionally optimistic.
There are some things that Carson does that, you know, not a lot of other quarterbacks can do, with his arm strength, his ability to throw the ball specifically vertically. So, yeah, do I expect it to step forward? I do. I expect us to be able to really expand on what we've done in the past. This is first year with Carson as a QB1, but I do think we can develop and grow as a group together, offensive, defensive, special teams. But to me, it really does come down to winning.
Gosh, I love Ron Rivera sometimes. I think I need to hear that again because, honestly, he didn't say anything. Let me hear it again.
There are some things that Carson does that, you know, not a lot of other quarterbacks can do.
True.
With his arm strength, his ability to throw the ball specifically vertically.
All right, then I don't need to hear anything else. The rest of that is just is gobbledygook, nothing. He can throw the ball vertically.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. He's in a way taking a shot at Taylor Heinicke there for noodle arm.
Oh, yeah.
But... yeah, Carson Wentz is not good. He's not good.
No.
Good luck. Good luck, Commandos. Good luck, Commandos. All right, finally, we talked to Rod Brindamore earlier, and one of the players I asked him about was Tony DeAngelo. Here's DeAngelo from his exit interview yesterday. By the way, Tony's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
DeAngelo on basically the way he was made to feel by the Hurricanes.
If you look at last summer, I mean, there was, not to go into too much detail, there's a lot of options that, you know, we thought we had and were supposed to have in a sense that didn't come to fruition as time went on there. And then you come to Carolina and it was with open arms, basically. We had good conversations from talking with ownership to coaching staff to management. And I felt like they were good to me. They listened to me. They trusted me and took me in as you know, kind of with no, trying to think of the word I want to use, like no collar on you, basically kind of let you do your thing. And then, you know, earn their trust and just play your game. There was no like, hey, if you do or say any little thing, you're out or whatever, you know, anything like that. And I thought I came in and just, it was myself around the guys, myself around team and management, and just played my game. And I thought that, it translated into a positive thing for the team and myself. So that's probably how I say, you know what I mean? Good to me. In a sense, I probably could have used better wording, but, I'm a loyal guy. And I told him that from the beginning. I said, you guys were good to me. I'll use it again. And I'm very loyal. So hopefully we're able to do something together.
Rod Brindamore also was excited by what Tony brought to the team this year. I hope it works out. I do think it was very interesting, and whether people caught this or not, in the handshake line after the series, to all the players that Tony was teammates with for, you know, a couple of years, Kreider, Zibanejad, Adam Fox even, Keandre Miller, Artemi Panarin, there was consistently a pretty warm embrace. So for the people who thought that Tony didn't get along with teammates, that's just not the case. Tony got along great with teammates. He was well-liked in this locker room. And he was a really good teammate. And he's a really smart player. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. I don't know what Tony wants. We're not going to ask him what he wants tomorrow. But I think the Hurricanes were a very good team. And a lot of that had to do with what Tony DeAngelo brought to the team, to the locker room, and on the ice. Hopefully it'll work out next year. When we come back, Elliot Johnson, former Durham Bulls star, Atlanta Brave, and others. And we'll talk to him about baseball, about fantasy football slap fights, and more. Next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers, into three colors: red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. And Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Mets have won 6 in a row. I'm in a good mood. Not just because the Mets have won 6 in a row, but I'm in a good mood because we get to talk baseball with Elliot Johnson, Durham Bulls legend, Tampa Bay Ray, Atlanta Brave, Kansas City Royal, and Cleveland Guardian. Do you have any of your Cleveland Guardian gear?
I don't have any Cleveland Guardian gear, but I do have some Indians gear.
they chose a poor name. They really did. What's worse, the Guardians or the Commanders?
Oof.
Yes.
I really don't mind the Guardians. All things considered, it's okay. The poor reflection on them was not realizing that it was already trademarked, I think, by the roller derby team, right?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Come on, man. The Indians are supposed to be business savvy. What happened?
It's just terrible. It was all bad. All right, let. I want to save the Josh Donaldson stuff and the fantasy football slap fight stuff for the end of this if we have time, because I do want your thoughts on those two things. But we have a pretty big series tonight that's opening up between the Mets and the Dodgers. The Mets have somehow got a plus 77 run differential. Jacob DeGrom has thrown 0 innings. Max Scherzer is out until after the All-Star break. How are they putting this together? Is this simply a reflection of Buck Showalter?
Well, it's certainly part of it. It's also that they have ownership that actually wants to win and is willing to put in some extraordinary effort, or I guess it's probably extraordinary effort for the way that teams are typically run, which is make as much money as possible, and then hopefully you win secondarily. But, you know, Cohen's got all the money. He doesn't really care about that. He just wants to win. And clearly it's being reflected in not only how the team is playing, but the depth that they have as well. I mean, they sent down Dominic Smith.
Yeah.
So he's out. They're having some, you know, Lindor's playing great, of course. And then they got this, what's his name, Guillorme?
Yeah, he's been around. Louis Guillorme has been around for a couple of years. He's spent some time in the minor leagues, got a big beard. He's kind of, it looks like he might not be in great shape.
Yeah, but he's on fire right now. So I mean, they're doing things the right way. They've got depth. They're not afraid to make a splash when the trade deadline comes around. You know, I mean, you got to really respect what they're doing over there. Showalter was definitely the right fit. He was definitely the right person. He's done this for a long time. He knows how to do it. But I've been pretty impressed with how the Mets have performed. Not only that, but it's been somewhat disappointing to see how the Braves have done.
Right.
And all the Phillies are the Phillies, like always, it seems like. But the Braves, to me, it seems like they haven't really hit their stride yet. They've got a long ways to go. Matt Olson seems like he had a pretty nice day. But they still end up losing that game against the Diamondbacks, which, you know, aren't even trying to win this year.
Elliot Johnson is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I look at the Braves as, I mean, last year they were basically this until we got to, like, August. Ronald Acuna missed the first, 30 games of the season. It's going to take him some time to get fully back, and we know how good he is. Like, I think the Braves, they might have put themselves too far behind, but I think they're going to make a run at a playoff spot. I'm not really that concerned about them. I think you're right about the Phillies. The Dodgers, though, have the best record, I believe, in baseball. Plus 112 run differential? But they just got swept by the Pirates. How does that happen? Other than baseball.
Baseball's a crazy, crazy game, isn't it? The Pirates. Well, so the Pirates are kind of in meh land, you know, they're right around, you know, they're sub 500. The Phillies are kind of in that meh land. I think the Braves are going to be just fine. They still haven't really hit their stride, maybe a little bit of a hangover from the World Series.
Sure.
But getting Acuna back is huge. That's going to help. But their offense is fine. I'll be curious to see if they can stay healthy pitching-wise down the stretch. But you know, the Dodgers are obviously going to be the team to beat. Mookie Betts is Mookie Betts. They added Freddie Freeman.
Right.
And they'll probably add another bat, as scary as that sounds, when the trade deadline comes around. It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
No, not at all. I want to ask you about Aaron Judge. It came during a time in the Braves had done the Freddie. They basically walked away from Freddie Freeman. Matt Olson signs. And I remember you and I had this conversation about Olson accepted less money, which I'm sure didn't go unnoticed around big league clubhouses, where you get a player who could demand a higher wage, and it doesn't sit well with other players. But Aaron Judge did the opposite. He turned down $30 million annually for, I think, 8 years from the Yankees. It might have even been $31 million because he thinks he could get the Mike Trout contract, which is closer to 36. It looks like he was right. Just your thoughts on what Aaron Judge did and the fact that he, at least at this point, seems to be pulling it off.
It takes a lot of confidence to walk away from $200+ million. So obviously he feels like he's worth more. He's willing to risk it. I see what the Yankees are doing. I understand it. But at the same time, I can all but guarantee you they're raising that offer quietly. How's 250 sound?
Right. No question.
He's playing out of his mind. He's got like a what's his OPS plus is almost 200, meaning he's he's 100% better or 93% better than the average Major League Baseball player. I don't think anybody's beating him there. I mean, he's going to get MVP votes, if not the MVP. He's going to obviously be an All-Star. If the Yankees go to a World Series, then, you know, and they win, and, you know, hopefully they don't. Just, that's the way I was raised. Sorry, Yankees fans here. But hopefully they don't win and and somebody else does. But even if they do, I mean, gosh, back up the truck, because he's going to get everything he wants and then some, because you and I both know that Cohen's going to come knocking. And once we have a bidding war, it's going to get crazy.
Right. Like the Yankees' worst nightmare is that Steve Cohen has unlimited money. And he doesn't care if his payroll next year, like, he has already accepted that the new collective bargaining agreement has a Steve Cohen threshold. Like, he's referred to it as you know, I guess that's about me. Okay, he just laughs at it. He doesn't care.
Well, yes, but I mean, keep in mind that the Yankees are worth about $6 billion.
Right.
Okay. But it's not like the Yankees can't afford it. They're just choosing not to. Okay. So they have just as much money. They have every opportunity and ability to pay him anything that he wants. They just chose to do it this way. It's just the way that the business works is you're trying to get the player for the least amount that you possibly can. And I appreciate the way they went about it, but it didn't go their way. They thought he would fold. They thought he would buckle and that he would come to them. And he's chose to bet on himself, and rightfully so. And now, and this is going to be, to your point, their worst nightmare, because, you know, just like with Max Scherzer, Steve Cohen basically said, whatever you bid, I'll bid $1 higher.
Right.
So we're going to see if he wants to go after the top dollar, or if he wants to stay in a Yankee uniform and potentially have a statue, you know, maybe at some point. We'll see.
He's in the best possible situation. All right, let me ask you about a teammate of his, and Aaron Judge was no friend publicly to Josh Donaldson after the snide Jackie remark he made to Tim Anderson, because I read the story yesterday that Josh was upset that his teammates and his manager did not publicly defend him. Maybe don't be a jerk. Is that good enough?
I don't understand why he's digging his heels in, Adam. I don't get it. You know, so him and Tim Anderson obviously are not friends. You can't drop Jackie on him unless you're really, really close with the guy. And even then, like, I just don't think that it was anything that he should be doing. He should have backed off. He should have apologized. He should have owned up to it. But now he's just making it worse. So I just don't get it, man. I don't understand. But, you know, he's chosen to take this tact, and I don't think it was the right play at all, Adam.
Yeah, I think I said this to Doug Glanville last week, all you needed to know was that his manager and is the signature player on that team didn't back him up. Like, at that point, tail between your legs, mercy of the court, the whole thing, my mistake, move on. But he has chosen to go, I can't believe my teammates didn't back me up. All right, now we also have the slap heard round Major League Baseball. I didn't even see the slap. I don't care about the slap. But Tommy Pham slapped Jock Peterson because there was a fantasy football league gone awry. Was there anything about this story that made you laugh, or was that everything about this story made you laugh?
So I've been doing fantasy baseball team names, like don't slap my jock strap and stuff like that, that I've been trying to come up with that I think are fairly clever.
Right.
That's probably about as good as I can come up with, but I'd welcome everyone to send me your best fantasy, Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson joke team name would be great. But I mean, basically, it gets competitive. I don't care who you are. And these are alpha guys that are the best in the world at what they do, and they don't take kindly to disrespect. And so obviously Tommy felt disrespected. He took it out on Jock. I think he's losing $111,000 by being suspended for 3 games.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. So I don't know, man. Obviously, Jock felt like he was okay with doing it, and Tommy didn't feel like they were close enough for him to say the things that he was saying, and he took it personal. So here we are, man. You got two grown men fighting it out over fantasy baseball or football. It doesn't matter what it is. That's the way that things work in the clubhouse, man.
Gambling, because according to Jock Peterson, and I saw that whole interview in the clubhouse, like he said there was a lot of money involved. So, man, when guys are gambling on fantasy football, and that's what it is, there's a lot of money involved, man. It's serious business.
Yeah, but I mean, it, it's it's less about the money and it's more just about being respected or disrespected at that point. Seriously, like the money matters to a point, but that's just so that the guys stay engaged. But overall, obviously he did something, said something, made him feel really uncomfortable, whatever it was, whether it was the meme about the Dodgers doing well or the Padres doing poorly. I'm not exactly sure the whole story because I didn't hear it from Tommy's side yet. But obviously, you know, he felt like it was deserving of a slap, and that's what happened.
Mike Trout might or might not be the commissioner of that fantasy football league going forward. He did say that commissioners always get booed. All right, final thing for Elliot Johnson. In a spring training situation, was there ever a bracket pool that got out of hand?
Of course. Of course. So depending on which team you play for, like there's some teams that like they're all in everything. It's pretty impressive. And then you get some guys, some teams are, it's, you know, it's just kind of an afterthought.
Right.
But there's some teams I've played for where it was like the first thing you talked about when you got there and the last thing you talked about before you left, because the guys were so intent on learning every other thing that they could get into as much as possible and finding a way to try and beat everybody else. You know, again, you get the most competitive people you've ever met, and they're competition junkies, you know? And so that's what it's about, is trying to outwit, outsmart, outbeat everybody, whatever it is you're in. So there's definitely clubhouses that are all in on that stuff. And it really depends on the staff and the players, of course, a little bit too. But the trainers, believe it or not, are the guys that are really organized, and they help run a lot of those things. So again, it just depends on which team you're on. So the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned, because it actually helps engage a lot of more team morale and kind of that team camaraderie, as far as I'm concerned.
That's exactly the word I was going to use. It's about camaraderie. Elliot Johnson, like we have great camaraderie on this program. I appreciate your time. We'll talk again very soon, man.
See ya.
You got it. Elliot Johnson.
I have a team name, fantasy team name.
Oh, what is it? Why didn't you tell Elliot?
Well, you're interviewing.
It's fine.
I'm not going to jump in.
You can.
Protecting the Fam.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
There you go.
Just text that to Elliot.
I will.
He'll appreciate that. All right, when we return, a former Tar Heel, but also a former Virginia Cavalier, TJ Thorpe, who's now doing some work for highschoolot.com. He's got a podcast out, and it's really about the high school football experience and getting the most out of it. I think it's fascinating. We'll talk to TJ Thorpe about it next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Adam Gold Show, TJ Thorpe. I did a Google search for TJ Thorpe, and I bring up two pages. One says Virginia Cavaliers official athletic site. The other says University of North Carolina official athletic site. There can't possibly be two TJ Thorpes. Are you UVA TJ or are you UNC TJ?
Whoever's winning in the fourth quarter.
Oh man, a mercenary. I love it. TJ Thorpe now with High School OT, is going to be one of their analysts during the football season, but also has, the TJ Thorpe show that we are going to discuss, here. I want to start here. And maybe it was easier, that you left UNC and went to UVA to have a Duke guy on, Anthony Boone, on your first show.
Yeah, well, it wasn't supposed to go that route, and let's preface this by, we're trying to highlight the student athletes first before we get to the alumni. So he just happened to be in Charlotte. But spoiler alert, I got the Duke grad and quarterback leader to say, go Heels. So
what?
I think it worked out. You got to watch. You got to see. That's all I'm saying. All of that. So it worked out.
Wow. Did money change hands? What happened here?
Look, when you got somebody, you know, with their hands tied, you just, you know, he knows.
Totally understand it. All right, so give me some background on what you're trying to do with the show. I've watched part of the first episode, which is now available at highschoolot.com or wherever you get your podcast. Those of us who have podcasts understand that phrase. You can get podcasts anywhere. I think this is going to be great. And I know Anthony Boone wasn't the only guest, and we'll let you talk about the show in general. But what is your goal with the TJ Thorpe Show?
Oh, one other note. You can also watch it on your television.
That's right.
WRL Sports Plus. So we tried to hit every base as possible. So there's no reason you can't watch it.
Hey, look, this show is on WRL Sports Plus.
Even better. So here we are. We're all together. We're all loving it. We're doing it as a unit. But so to the show, I guess what my angle is here is to highlight, you know, one, top prospects throughout North Carolina. So not necessarily just Raleigh and Charlotte, but right. We want to go into every mountain, rural area, whatever we got, to find the best athletes and the guys who are doing it the right way.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is we want to do it in a fun way. So this last one, I kind of almost pulled my groin a little bit working out with some of the high schoolers. So that's a little different. Nick Stevens probably isn't going to run routes with guys and catch passes and maybe go through some lineman drills. We've gotten some of these kids to come out their shell and do some TikToks with us. But the biggest thing to encase it all is the show on the back end with the alumni athletes, that football is just a finite, you know, period of time in your life. It's so much more after football. And that's what we want to highlight, the guys who are great examples of doing it the right way and continue to do it the right way once the ball has stopped bouncing or rolling or whatever it is. So that's kind of the TJ Thorpe Show and wrapped in a little nutshell.
You know, it's interesting is that we have high-profile football players that have come from all reaches of this state. You know, you don't have to. I mean, we have Julius Peppers from Rutherfordton. I think it was Rutherfordton. You've got like Heath Shuler, who's out in the mountains in Asheville. My friend Deontay Williams from Jacksonville.
There you go.
So yeah,
I played ball with his high school. I mean, I played high school ball with his little cousin. So Deontay was intricate in getting me into Carolina.
Deontay's one of the best people I know, man.
There you go.
So we've always called him the unofficial mayor of Jacksonville, and I know he's back there. You know, I haven't spoken to him in a little bit of while, but I know he's back there, you know, working with kids out there too.
Yep.
So how has high school football or high school sports in general, because this probably is the same for other sports, but let's just keep it to football. How has high school football changed and gotten better across the state, you think?
I think it's obviously, I mean, you see it, like you said, across all sports, but definitely football. I think you see it now. The blueprint is more laid out. Being able to access certain resources to better your game is more accessible to athletes now, given whether it's social media, just people coming before them who now come back, like we mentioned, Deontay, myself, others who have been to certain areas and are trying to give back. But honestly, I think that the biggest thing is it's the kids being able to build their own brand, and that kind of goes into the NIL portion.
Sure.
Because when it's about you, granted, it's a team sport, but when you're your own brand, you're less likely to put a stain on that brand. You're more likely to build it up and to invest in it and to pour all your drive and grind into that the brand. So I'd assume that's in essence making kids work harder. And then when you have little platforms like this, it's cool to be rewarded with a little snippet on TV or an interview or some merch or whatever that looks like for doing some of the right things and excelling in your sport. So I think that's probably why, you know, student athletes are starting to blossom here.
TJ Thorpe is joining us. As a kid who stayed local, you know, for a time anyway, what is cool about, you know, or what would be available in terms of name, image, and likeness to a kid. And how aware are these kids? I know you talked to one of the best wide receivers in the state. How aware are they in terms of what is available to them and why it might be more attractive to stay home?
I think they're extremely aware solely because, again, the social media part. When you have your so one of the kids from Southern Durham High School will probably do a story on him at some point. He's out to Oklahoma.
Right.
He's on a visit now, taking to Oklahoma. I saw it on his Instagram, right? But I know that if I was his parent and I just heard that Oklahoma is giving every scholarship student athlete $50,000 per school year,
right,
that you attend there, oh, yeah. That's going to be a visit we take for sure.
Sure.
Like that's just, you know, and I think that the kids are seeing that. But also when you see kids like Sam Howell, like, granted, he's a Charlotte kid. He's not necessarily Raleigh, but he has a Bojangles deal. What kid doesn't go out to eat lunch and go to Bojangles? Like when you have a sponsorship with Bojangles, holy smokes. Like, what? We get discount, we get group coupons, all this stuff like that. That's so crazy. And then to think that you can put your family in a better situation or yourself in a better situation at a younger age. I mean, it's crazy. So a lot of these kids, you know, granted right now it's more for they're not thinking retirement funds and things right. like that, but they are thinking, oh man, I can pat my pockets a little bit now doing what I love and I can do it now. So I think that's great. And I think the kids who leverage their hometown, I mean, where else do you have a bigger following? Where, you know,
right.
that's what I always say. If I could have done that, I would have definitely tried to reach out to Randy's Pizza, sponsors our games or whatever, or maybe I would have tried to flag down Bojangles. I don't know.
Look, it's funny. I've actually talked about this for a number of years, and T.J. Thorpe is joining us. You should check out the T.J. Thorpe Show at highschoolot.com, wherever you get your podcast, or watch it on WRAL Sports Plus on your television as you're watching this show now, if you are. But a number of years ago, you know, when we were talking about, you know, the idea, this was just in the formative stages, the idea of allowing an athlete while in college to realize the value of his name, the NIL thing. And you were probably already gone from UNC at this point. And a guy like Marcus Page, the point guard, as a sophomore, like he was already like this incredible spokesman for the program, super kid, great student. Yep. I mean, you couldn't. His value was never going to be higher because he wasn't a guy that was going to play in the NBA. But his value was never going to be higher than it was as a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, and he wasn't allowed at that point. And to me, that was a missed opportunity, not just for Marcus Page, but also for the sport. Like now, for the college sports industry, those kids should be highlighted, and they deserve something from it. Am I wrong?
No, I agree 100%. When you cut on the tape and they play back UNC's run to the finals. I mean, to the national championship game. I said finals, I'm watching NBA. But to the national championship game. Every year, what happened? They show a Marcus Page clip of him hitting that weird jumper, even though Villanova broke our hearts.
Right.
But he ties it up. Or you see a clip of Marcus Page doing something else. Marcus Page, don't age me. Me and him are in the same class area. So we had classes together and walked the classes together from time to time. Oh, I remember the Marcus Page days. And he was number 5. Shout out to number 5. but again, like you said, how much money did the school itself make? How much money did like you said, Michael Jordan make? All these people are making money besides the people who are out there performing. And that's the issue, like you said. And had he been able to, because again, it's now Kobe White
yep.
since then has came through. Joel Berry came through. Now, granted, they're all great guys, they're all great players, but it takes away from Marcus's name because he's not in the limelight anymore. When he could have you know, took advantage of his name and likeness, like you're saying. So I think that again, it's huge because a guy like Marcus, national championship, you won one. I mean, you didn't win it, or right. You got close. You're a household name.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's a celebrity.
You are a legit celebrity, yeah. So you should be compensated for that, at least in some form or structure. I know they tried to with football. I know I received the name and likeness check for, like, the video game.
Right.
But now they're coming back out with a video game. So it's like, well, if y'all do any type of historic teams, and I see myself, I want more money.
Did do you remember... Can you even tell us? Could you remember the total of that check?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was $8,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but think about when I got the check, I was no longer playing football.
Oh, that's not good.
And not only that, I was an impact player on the game. So if anybody knows how EA Sports games go, you know, I would assume an impact player should get more money than a normal player. But,
right.
You know, you don't want to be greedy, but that's the thing. But how many copies of that game went around?
Yeah.
How many, you know, globally? And to think that only $8,000 went to one athlete out of that, it's like, I doubt it. You know, and so it's one of those things where you figure it out, you know, but glad they got it right now, or at least they're trying to move in the right direction, and hopefully they don't water it down.
TJ Thorpe, highschoolot.com podcast, wherever you get them, the TJ Thorpe Show. I appreciate your time. Let's do it again. We could talk high school football. We could talk college football. Sure. We could talk Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Did you play with Darian Durant up there?
I didn't. I played against him.
Ah. He played up there for a long time. He was a star up there.
No, he still, when I got up there, he was the star still, but he was with Montreal when I was up there.
Okay.
So I played against them. We actually had dinner together. That was really cool, you know, star UNC guy. But I also was a Winnipeg Blue Bomber, and they won the Grey Cup 2 years in a row after I left. Are you kidding me?
So, okay, we'll talk CFL next time. I appreciate it, TJ. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
Good dude. Nice to catch up. Hopefully can talk to TJ Thorpe a lot. And I may have this wrong. Is he the next guest on Culture State Podcast?
He is not. Our next guest is actually going to be Grant Hill.
Oh.
Yeah. But TJ will be coming up probably later on this month, yes.
Oh. Grant Hill on the Culture State Podcast.
That's right.
That is big time. That is big time.
It is actually pretty big.
That's just enormous. Absolutely enormous. Good for you. All right, so we'll look forward to a future episode of Culture State and a longer conversation with TJ Thorpe. So, you know, it's funny. I didn't even remember that he had finished his college career at Virginia.
Yeah.
I honestly did not remember it. He was just a fun player. At UNC. Could do everything. It was like Debo Samuel before Debo Samuel was Debo Samuel. But cool. You know, that somebody like him, and I know he had Anthony Boone on, these guys who mentor, you know, high school athletes. High school athletes, they're smarter than they've ever been. As you become more aware of your surroundings, you're just able to handle a lot more. But there is so much more being thrown at them. Like, it's hard to keep up. So the high school athlete who wants to play in college or consider a pro career, they need maybe more guidance than they've ever needed, right? So there are so many more things available to them. Now we're seeing NIL being available to high school kids. Which, again, whatever. This, get it while you can get it.
Yeah.
Gosh. I would have, were you ever, Dennis, were you ever that guy? Were you ever the best player on your team in a sport, or one of the best players on a team in your sport?
Yeah.
What was it, lacrosse?
And football, but yeah, mostly lacrosse.
What position did you play in football?
What, offense? Are you talking about high school or college?
I didn't know you played in college.
I played for a year in college. I was a linebacker in college. Defensively, I played everywhere on the front seven.
Okay. You're versatile.
I was.
You're the Jeremy Chin, sort of, in a way.
Yeah. I did not play. I was not that fast. But lacrosse-wise, I was one of our top players. I was a top defenseman.
Were you a long stick?
I was.
Good for you. Hey, can I ask you a question about lacrosse?
Please?
As somebody who
I'm
understands? And I'm not going to ask you anything about a long stick.
Okay.
Why is it okay to just repeatedly whack your opponent with a stick?
Well, you got to be able to take the ball away.
So I could just smack you in the arm and in the shoulder with a stick?
You have to keep it within reason. You have to be on the hands or on the stick.
That's generally, but that's not what I watch.
Yeah, you can't wind up. We can't generally wind up like a baseball bat and just
hack
away.
No, not that. But it's just constant whacks on the arm.
Yeah, little small
slaps.
Why
is that okay?
Well, how else am I going to take the ball from you? Otherwise, you can just do what you want.
Hit the stick. But they don't do that. Yeah, they don't do that. They hit the guy in the arm. Like,
they shouldn't have moved his stick out of the way. That's why.
I can't believe you're defending that.
Yeah,
that kind of behavior.
I've taken plenty of whacks on the ribs and on the hips. Oh yeah,
it's all accepted, and that's bad
because we're tough.
What are we? Well, honestly, it's among the toughest games to play. I think
indoor lacrosse is—that's no joke because cross checking and stuff, just like hockey.
Really?
Except you can plant your feet because you're not on skates.
Gosh,
that is rough.
Yeah,
and I love it.
I love outdoor lacrosse. Like I'm not. It's not like the game hasn't grown. We have a lot more schools playing, you know, major college lacrosse than we used to. But, man, I thought it would be bigger than it is right now, but maybe there's still that growth. How long did we wait for soccer to catch on?
A long time.
Right. And I think we're here. I think we're here where soccer is becoming a major U.S. sport. Maybe lacrosse is next.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.